The current spoiler warning level is Azure.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of Azure. We're talking about a pair of machines from New Mobile Report Gundam Wing, and then a couple of developed into suits from Gundam Wing spin-off manga that doesn't matter at all and will never be adapted. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG, our first since I got you all a present. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Dylan. Wait, what's the present?
Dylan, do you ever listen to Mechanista, or do you just be on it?
I just be on it. I have them all downloaded, but I don't keep caught up.
Well, I would say the biggest, like, addressable flaw, there are probably flaws with Mechanista that I just won't think of, you know, like, just I'm too close, can't see the forest for the trees. As a person this deep in, though, I would say the biggest problem with Mechanista is the fact that because we use so much reference material, you just non-stop hear the sound of my mouse.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I bought a silent mouse for y'all. It feels like shit to use, but it's quiet.
Oh no.
That's okay, I just swap. Whenever I'm not recording, I just use the mouse I like.
It's like, are my mouse and keyboard loud? I don't really listen enough that I don't really know.
Not that loud. I mean, your keyboard, certainly. It's not, you know, like, it's not bad, but, like, it's usually I can't cover it up. And that's fine. You know, people know we're going to be referencing things. But the other thing is I'm also, I have, like, restless hands, and so even if I can either have my hands completely off the mouse, or I'll just click, 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 click.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. I was going to say, it depends. I'm, like, thinking of other podcasts I listen to. Some people I listen to definitely own, like, loud mechanical keyboards where you will hear, like, clack, 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 clack.
And I mean, there are times, you know, this is getting into editing theory, right? Which is a whole ball of wax. But it's like, there are times when that's good, right? Like when someone says, like, you know, you have someone on a podcast and it's a more casual podcast, right? And they're like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder, let me look that up. And then you hear keyboard sounds. That's fine, right? Mm. What you don't want is like someone like, just, you know, got like a DM from their friend who's like, my house is on fire. And they're like, okay, I have to reply to this. But it's completely irrelevant to the podcast. You're just randomly hearing clack, clack, clack. That's no good.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Congratulations.
Folks, sir. If your house is on fire, probably call someone. DMs are not the right way to solve that situation. This is not a call-out post, because this has not happened.
Okay, I was going to say, like, this sounds like a specific thing, so my brain is like, okay, do I ask whether this happened to you or not?
Also, cut toxic people out of your life.
All right.
So, do you want to roll?
Yeah. Well,
where do you want to roll?
I was going to assume we did a request last week, so we could do a GGP-friendly one this week.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Just our usual alternation.
Sure. Okay.
I know we usually do, like, more requests than, the GGP order for a bit, but I feel like doing.
Okay, well, this is gonna go. You know, there's kind of no way this goes well, but all right.
All right. What is it? What era? What era? Is it Cosmic Era? Again?
I rolled again. I know this suit. Guess. Guess why I'm laughing.
I no clue. What's the model number?
OZ-13MSX1. It's time to try again, Dylan.
Oh, no. Is this going to be Ve Mercurius and then...
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to, right now, I'm going to get Craig in here.
Okay, get Craig
and then
in
I
here.
Can rake up the intro if we fuck up somehow.
Yeah, if somehow this is messed up, we will wing the intro.
Because this is cursed.
Right. Now recording.
Thanks, Craig. Welcome to the show. I will have to edit in Craig's little now recording jingle.
Okay.
Because obviously that's not going to show up otherwise,
so,
but I can do it. It's
for fine. Those that don't know or, you know, haven't... Because I don't think we've talked about it too much on the air. We've talked about it more just, like, in the Discord and stuff. We had recorded an episode on the Veiata Mercurius. And the Veiata Mercurius, those are not a problem. There's a related suit that is a problem that we're going to have to talk about that, you know, caused us some headaches last time. And then we found out after all that recording and after I was losing my mind describing it that my recording was lost. So it was, you know, a lost episode. Now, again, Veiata Mercurius... I'm okay describing these guys. When we get to... I'm just going to say the name of them now. The Gundam Castor and the Gundam Pollux. I'm going to be suffering it. Hopefully I'll have just as much energy suffering this week as I did last time. We'll see. It's been a couple... It's been 2 months now or something. So.
And we can't really capture the energy again, folks. Because a big part of covering the Castor and the Pollux was a murder mystery.
Yeah.
We were looking at these designs, and we were like, who killed you? What happened? And we kind of know now, because genuinely, looking at these designs for the first time, you can't tell what the fuck is happening with these shapes.
You can play along at home and look at these right when we... Pause the podcast when we get to them, if you want. And then open up the Gundam Castor and the Gundam Pollux, and... take a look at them, and then take a look at the their other forms, and the Scurry and the Diaz, and you'll see what happened and why we were having a lot of problems. But All right, well.
But today, no problems. Just
we're gonna talk about. Well, I'll start with the X1, which is the Mercuria, or no, the V8. V8's first, right?
Yeah, the V8 comes first, because it is, I believe, in my head, it's like, because the V8 is kind of a simpler job.
Yeah.
They've done beam guns before. Make one that's kind of big.
Yeah, you know that one Gundam that's blowing up our bases constantly? What if we made something like that?
And we asked the people who already made it to do it.
And yeah, so, we had the guys who already made it to do it, so.
Uh-huh.
All right, the V8. This is a mobile suit, designed, by the Gundam scientists for Oz, as might be apparent by the model number. The V8 is an offense-based unit that is designed in order to go into combat alongside the Mercurius, and its primary feature is it has a big beam cannon. Let me talk about the design. All right. So, with the V8, starting with the head. The head is a almost Leo-like head. But the actual face and whatnot is very, like, you know, rounded compared to that. So, on the top of the head, it almost has a bit of a hat going on. There is a single antenna that is swept back. As you reach the bottom of the quote-unquote hat, you have this lighter blue lining. The V8, fuck, gonna do this again like last time where I'm like mixing them up. The V8 is mostly blue, like a darker blue. It does have like a lighter blue lining around the top of the hat, or the bottom of the hat. For the face, you have a little inset pink camera. And the rest of the face is just almost like a big rounded mask, you know, going around that. Another similarity to the Leo is when you hit the bottom of the head, you have these two, like, little, I have always seen them as, like, radomes, basically, like, that kind of radar, that are on the bottom of the head here. On the Leo, it's kind of, I think it's more like, I can't remember, on the Leo, is it more of a neck, or is it also like this? Let's see.
I feel like it's more neck on the Leo.
Yeah, but it's the same overall shape. This is, yeah, well, yeah, okay. This is more similar, I guess, to the... No, the Tall Geese usually makes them also on the torso, now that I think about it. This one, they are fully on the head, because you can see when the head rotates that they rotate with it. Interesting.
I also think some of the other designs, like if you look at some of the SDs and stuff, it makes it a little more clear.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but another thing that is made clear is when you look at certain shots of this, the mask that is around the face is popped up, and this is very much more an even more Leo-esque head when the mask is popped up. Because you can see it has a secret TV underneath that is covered by the mask that makes it look like... I mean, it's still square, but it doesn't look like the same kind of thing as, like, the normal Leo. So
there's a secret TV, just like when I was in high school and I got grounded all the time, but I still wanted to play PlayStation.
God. I wasn't grounded all the time in high school. I was in middle school, though, because I did not want to do homework, and so I would get bad grades. And I was convinced that because I got A's on my test that I didn't have to do homework, because the whole point of homework was to study for tests, and I always did well on tests, so... And then, you know, then I got yelled at for not applying myself or whatever. I was also very depressed, and parents do not know how to deal with depression. At least mine didn't.
Okay. So far we're 1-1.
Yeah.
Okay, how did you address this in high school?
The way I addressed this in high school is, for the first 2 years of high school, I didn't. This still happened.
Okay.
Junior year, junior year was still kind of iffy, but I got a little better. And then what happened is all the people who were really mean to me graduated because they were all a year ahead of me. And so the last year of high school, I was a bit more outgoing and more, well, one, I had to try to make new friends that weren't shitheads because all my quote unquote friends had graduated. And two, I just was forced to be more social and people thought I was funny or like, nice, and so I actually made more friends, and my last year of high school was actually pretty good because of that. The rest of it was hell, and the middle school was all hell. But anyway...
But did you start doing your homework and stuff?
Yeah. It turned out that being, like, Well, it turned out being, like, less depressed all the time made me actually be like, you know what, okay, I should just sit down and, like, write this essay or whatever. Rather than, you know, being like, I'm sad and I don't think I should have to do anything ever.
Okay. This was the divergence then.
Yeah.
Because that's not the road I went down.
From what I know, a lot of people who are similar to me did not get out of this until mostly college.
Oh, wasn't college for me either. Flucked out of college because I was not showing up for classes.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just continued down the hole. But I'm glad you got out. It took me longer. Yeah.
Then my college problem is I ran into no more money and I didn't want to take out loans. So that's why I didn't finish college because I don't owe anyone any money, but I also don't have a degree from college. So, you know, anyway,
we just got to get honorary degrees.
Anyway, back to the design though. Okay. So that's the head, the torso, Oh, also, this has the constant thing of when you look at the line art, there are so many more areas that look like they should be colored in fancy, and they just aren't. It has, like, the back of the head, like, from the Leo, where you've got all these, like, vents, but they're not a separate color. The colors on these are, on both the Mercurius and Vade, are very simple, and not, like, if you look at the line art, they feel like they should be more detailed, basically. Anyway. The torso. So, we have a kind of boxy-ish torso. It can almost be seen as being divided into three sections, kind of like a lot of torsos. You know, you've got, like, a left, right, and center. The left and right pectoral areas, the area right before the shoulder kind of, you know, has a bit of armor that's raised up a bit higher. The whole bottom section is, like, a big vent array, or thruster array, just going straight down. I'm assuming it's just, like, a vent. Mm-hmm. Given the design, you can see from the side though that they are more slats. Like they almost look like they might just be like, you know, like panel line details or something, like a gray area that has lines, but you can kind of see that they're meant to be more like slattish. Then the center, you've got a little bar on the top middle, right above a piece of armor that has the cockpit hatch right below it. The center torso is real weird, like where it connects into the waist. It's very circular, and you've got these, you've got these like almost like teeth like torso sections. That you know, like the way that they meet on the top and bottom, they just kind of go together and like maybe more like cogs or something. I don't know how to word it.
Well, you know what they call it. You know what they call the parts on cogs.
What?
The teeth.
Oh, I guess they are the teeth. Yeah. Okay. And then, so you've got, like, this circular, you know, little, like, interlocked torso. I think the top hangs over a little. What I'm going to actually do also, because it's always helpful, is open up Schizophonic9's website and get me some model references, because even though they might change things, it does help more than just looking at line art.
Yeah, it does look like there is a very slight, like, forward protrusion. I don't know if it fully overlaps, but it is a bit more forward on top. So as far as model kits, what you're looking at is we have a first grade, of course, of these, which, you know, look like shit and aren't a great reference for anything. They did what they could at the time. More recently, I believe a couple of years ago, we had the P-Bandai high grade after Colony Vate Mercurius double pack.
Mm-hmm. That was in 2021, I think. So 2 years ago, they feel new.
Closet.
I remember when it was announced, everyone was like, hell yeah, because, you know.
Because hell yeah.
They pop a little forward, but they are actually still lined up pretty close to the bottom ones. I couldn't remember if it rotates only on the top section or if it just rotates the whole thing. On the model kit, at the very least, it rotates the whole thing, which, let me see. We actually have a picture of its... No, it's not rotated in that picture. Okay, it's got the head rotated, but not the torso. Huh. Okay, well. Anyway, moving on. The shoulder units, you have the ball shoulder that is very reminiscent of the Leo in that light blue color, and it has the shoulder bars similarly to, the Leo, I forget, the Leo, what are the Leo shoulders?
The Leo has really thin ones, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, the Leo has, they're actually kind of the same size on the Leo. It's just they're on the side. They're horizontal instead of vertical.
Oh, you know what? They're really thin on the model kit.
Okay. But yeah, and these hang over the top instead of the side, and these have a thruster on the front and back is kind of the main thing. I think, is it the Space Leo that has the version of these with the thruster?
I believe that's correct.
Yes. Okay. It's the Space Leo that has the more similar design to this. But yeah, so they have the thruster on the front and back of these. Then you have a very rounded upper arm. Not very much detail other than it has kind of a little tier. Like, it has, like, two tiers going on, right? You have the upper area, and it kind of thins out on the lower tier. And it's got a little bump, like, bump of detail on the front of that, the upper arm. Then you hit the lower arm, which is... very square, actually. Funnily enough, like, this thing is an interesting mix of shapes, like, rounded and square parts. The arms, though, are, like, the forearms are where it gets very square. So you've got a simple joint, and then these squared-off arms, they kind of, they're thicker around the joint at the elbow, and they're also thicker around the wrist. They have, like, a slightly thinner area in the middle. And then the hands coming out are just hands. For the waist... you've got the Talgi style, it's got, like, the central crotch vernier in the middle, bottom. Hard to see on the line art, but you can see it very clearly in the some of the anime pictures in the model. Similarly, it has, like, the side skirts. They've got the little dots on the front and the back of them that are in the side skirts. I say side skirts. They are more... they're not really, like, covering up very much. They are just... on the upper area, because the bulk of this, what looks appears to be the skirt, is actually attached to the leg, as we mm-hmm. see in some shots as well as on the model. For the back, what is the rear? Let me rotate that. Okay, the rear is just a flat plate. You know, it's T-shaped, obviously, because it's the rear on the crotch. Has that little Oz trapezoid that's not colored in on this design that feels like it should be. Again, one of those many areas that is like, why isn't this colored? Then for the legs, the thigh appears to be like a rounded thigh, but what it has on the outside of it is, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of designs we tend to look at will have the additional thrusters be on the calves instead. But on the case of these, on the Mercurius and V8, it's on the thighs. You have this, like, large bit of armor that has, like, a scoop at the bottom and a thruster.
Mm-hmm.
It does look good. I like the way it looks. Very similar to the Tall Geese in this case, too, right? Because the Tall Geese also has armor that's kind of like this. That the Tall Geese does a weird thing where its side skirts are... Instead, these are attached to the side skirts on the Tall Geese and the leg. They're attached to both, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. The real gray does the genius maneuver of allowing you to just remove it from the leg completely. Like, you can just take that ball, like, the little ball peg that it uses to get into the leg out and fold it up so that it doesn't interfere with, like, leg movement. Unfortunately, the Master Gray does not do this, and what the Master Gray Tall Geese did was not let you retract that part. You can just not build it, but I like the real gray allowing you to build it and then being like, okay, then you can hide it if you want. But anyway, here they solve that by just making it attached to the upper thigh, and that's it. Still would get a little bit in the way of movement, but it's not attached to the side skirts, so it actually can, like, at least on modern model kits, you know, kind of go inward a bit, or go, the legs can go out a bit more.
This, you know, jumping slightly ahead, but, like, it has this, like, leg flexibility issue, except this thing does not have anything approaching a melee weapon. It's like, no, that's not what this is for. Don't worry about your flexibility that much.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Doesn't actually need it. And then moving on, you've got a simple joint on the, like, not, you can't even really see the joint. It's got, like, a knee armor, which has some side armor attached to it that is also just blue. That you only really see the joint from the back. The knee's not anything fancy. It's just, like, a, you know, squared off knee, and then it's got, like, little bits protecting the sides of the joint. Then the lower leg is very very shapey in the way that, like, the Leo or the Tall Geese's lower leg is, right? Like, kind of like a human, more like a human calf almost, and how it has, like, this you know, shape. It's, like, thicker around the back and stuff, and then kind of starts, you know, getting thinner as you go down. Does have a instep guard attached to the attached more to the bottom of the leg than actually to the foot, at least on the original design. Obviously, to make it have more mobility, it's just attached to the foot and the little foot joints that are sticking out the side on the model kit. And then the foot is like your standard kind of Gundam foot, but it's all colored one color, so it looks a little weird. But it's got, you know, the big bit of armor at the top, and then, like, you know, the fancy sole at the bottom that would normally be a different color. And then it also has a bit of a heel on the back that just sticks out, a little further than you would expect for the back heel. Actually, what happens is the sole goes around the back and then goes above this heel. The heel is separate from, like, that bottom sole piece. Then for the, so the back of the torso, one, it has what always appears to, I know it's like a hard point that is meant for the Leo. Like, it's got that little circle on the back that is like the hard point that can pop out. But this is not the hard point it uses for its attachment, because what this actually has is at the bottom of either side of the torso, behind those, like, little vented pieces, it has a hard point for attaching things. And in this case, for the V8, it has attached the beam cannons. The beam cannon array, I should say. So you've got a sort of, discus-shaped part that is, like, a giant generator, basically. It's just an external generator.
Because it's easy to forget this because it never matters in the show, but theoretically, the buster rifle that the Wing Gundam carries has a pretty hard shot limit.
It's supposed to have a 3-shot limit originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you get the Wing Zero.
You'll never see that,
like,
respected in animation, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, and then you get the Wing Zero, where they're just like, yeah, it has infinite shots now, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the V8 does as well, but there's a clear reason, which is this back generator.
Yeah, rather than just being the Wing Zero. Which infers a lot of power upon you. Yeah, so the back generator is this discus-shaped part that, when you look at it from the back, almost appears to be like a donut, because it has, you know, a big hole in the middle of it. So you've got this, how to describe this? So you've got this ring around, the donut on the back of it, that has some yellow squares, as like a little bit of detail breakup. Also has like a little handle on the, top of this. Don't know why it actually has the handle on the top of it. I guess just for when they are loading this onto the V8, to lift it up and, you know, slot it into the back. What happens is, though, the circle, this donut opens up down, like, the, how to describe it? It splits open, right? And that's where you see, like, the inside of the generator, which is, like...
It's a clamshell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a clamshell-style design. And the inside of it, is, you know, even more, colored radiating parts. You can see a little bit of it, in the anime when the beam generator is activated before the cover is put on, or before the cover's on all the way, and it's, you know, got this, like, purple energy swirling around it, which is cool.
And yet, all the versions that are, you know, like Gunpla always make it yellow.
Yeah. Which is... Yeah, they do.
I wish they at least included the purple as an alternate sticker or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird thinking on it, because, yeah, when we see it actually activated, it is purple. At least in some of these shots. And then what this is attached to is via some, wires and such, this is attached to a really large square beam rifle, or beam cannon, would probably be the better way of wording it. Well, I say that, it is not actually attached. It is attached to the base of the beam cannon. I remember now. I forgot. This also happened to us last time, or happened to me last time.
Yeah, it has to plug in.
It has to plug in, yeah, which is actually really cool. So it keeps the barrel for the beam cannon on the, it keeps the barrel for the beam cannon on the, other hardpoint on the back. And the back of that slots into the base of this part of the generator, basically. Now... What it's supposed to do is it has a subarm that is attached, and it just swings this around, right? You can see that very clearly in the one Kotoki line art of the beam cannon being deployed. You can see the subarm around the side. This is not in the anime. They were like, this would be too hard for us to want to animate, so we're just going to have it combine the beam cannon, and it's just going to be free-floating. There's not going to be, like, a subarm attached.
And if I recall correctly, like, in animation, you know, they never really, like, it's never, like, a shot that's super emphasized. They never animate it for this to be the focus. But basically what happens is Troa, because he's the only person who ever pilots this, grabs the rifle, swings it around front like he's holding it, and then, jabs the back backwards into the generator base to lock it in.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool, like, motion, actually.
It is. And yeah, you can see here very clearly that it does not have that subarm. Whereas on the model kit, now this does limit the posability, but this is much more accurate to the line art. And they, of course, on the model kit are able to extend the arm even more, so it can still, like, swing the cannon in front of it, like this. But it does have that big subarm on it. I like the way that looks more, because I'm a mechanically inclined weirdo. But of course, like I said, in animation, they were like, this is too complicated. We're not, Kotoki, we like this design. We're not doing that. So even though you've drawn it in all the art, the animation will not reflect that. It's fine.
I'm so enamored though with the connecting motion that he does that I'm kind of torn as to which I like. The subarm is clearly a better idea, but like, I don't know, there's something about just, like, slamming it together yourself that feels real good.
That is good. I mean, it still kind of has to do that with the normal one. It's just a bit, it's a little bit more, of a clinical motion. You can't do it as dramatic.
It's not like Buster Gundam vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and that would be the only weapon on this, so...
I mean, if Gundam Wing Endless Duel is to be believed, the barrel there is well built enough that it makes a pretty effective club
I guess, yes. Okay, I'll say that. It does have a self-destruct system, and also later on it does get turned into a mobile doll.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
This design, I guess there are two, like, it is one of the Kotoki designs that we never have gotten, like, Kotoki's, like, colored idea of what this would look like, right?
I don't think
Which
so,
is
no.
a real shame.
In that one picture with all the Oz mobile suits, I think it's all the mass production suits. I don't think the Mercurius yeah. made are there. Let me double check.
And I think the Tall Geese as well, but...
Yeah, the Tall Geese is also there.
But yeah, no Mercurius, no V8 in that shot. Well, shot in that illustration. And then, like, so it's sad not getting to see, you know, the less refined, like, to be optimally easy to animate version. And of course, we'll never get it because it'll never be, like, a Wing MSV. You know, the closest we got is, you know, like, you know,
some of the
manga stuff.
I was going to say, there is Glory of the Losers. Okay, actually, no, they are in the shot. Interesting colors, actually, though. You'll see.
Oh, really?
Okay, so here's the one art that he has of all the suits. You can see them on the left.
Oh, wow, they look great!
Uh-huh, he does add the little red dots, like, on the side skirt, like I expected. Funnily enough, one thing he does is simplify the colors, though, in that this doesn't have the light blue anymore. It is all blue, but it has more detail breaking it up. Like, it's got red on the beam cannon on a bunch of parts. The cables are white going from the beam cannon into the backpack.
And the gray is deployed very differently.
Yes, so instead of having the light blue on the midsection, it's just gray. And then, you know, same with, like, the arms. I do like this. And there's also a cool change on the Mercurius 2 here that I really like, which is I like the Planet Defensor design here a lot.
Mm-hmm. You can also infer from the Mercurius's foot, which we can barely see, that the foot on the V8 would have some color separation because there's some dark
gray
on there,
too. Yeah, it looks more like your usual Gundam foot. It's got a gray, like, on the top of the foot armor, and then the sole for the Mercurius is red, which, you know, instead of being all red, or all blue in the case of the V8. The other thing he does with the Mercurius there that I love is that he gives it two crash shields.
Yeah, we'll talk about the crash shields in a bit. The crash shields rule.
Yeah.
But it's amazing because this is technically fewer colors, but the breakup, like the way it breaks up the like the color is just better.
Yeah. Which again, Wing is a show that I think I don't want to say it's animated cheaply, but it is. I mean, one, we know they reuse a lot of animation in Wing, and two, I do feel like it was maybe colored a bit on the cheap. I feel this way about Gundam X2. If you look at, like, the colors of the suits in the show, they tend to have very simple color blocking overall, I feel. I guess this is common in all the 90s shows, but I feel like G actually gets to play around with it a bit more. But that's probably also because it gets to use more bright colors because of its designs being more out there. Like, more, you know, fancy.
Yeah. The other thing is, I think this and the Mercurius, like, are both just very classically designed to be, like, mid-bosses, right? Like, these, I think there is an intentional restraint with these designs to make the viewer not be like, and I am satisfied and I do not need new Gundams.
Yeah.
These are intentionally supposed to be, like, fill-ins.
Yeah.
Substitute teachers.
They are really cool, though.
They're very cool.
Which I guess, with that, we can also talk about the Mercurius now, which is easy to talk about because it's the exact same design as the V8, however, the colors have changed, and the head has a different crest, and then the attachments are different. So, on the head crest, instead of having a single horn, this has a, like a bisected horn, like it goes up a little, and then it splits and just goes out to the side both ways, so... You know,
yeah, not really a V-fin, though. This is more like samurai head crest territory.
Yeah. And then you've got red, and then all the areas that are light blue on the V8 are now pink. Like, so the arm, like, you know, the shoulders, the midsection, the little lining around the helmet. Where this also changes, though, is the backpack equipment, which is what appear to be from the front a bunch of drums, which is, as Wing viewers would know, actually the planet defensors. Which the planet defensors are basically shield bits is probably the best way to describe them simply. They can do a couple of things, though. They generate, so they are discs that can generate an electromagnetic field. It can combine these together in order to be able to, you know, repel beams or even physical ammo and whatnot, because it's just a strong electromagnetic barrier. The ones on the Mercurius, so on the Virgo, they're strong. On the Mercurius, it has 10 of them, and they are strong enough to repel even from, like, the V8's beam cannon or the Wing Zero's twin buster rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I also choose to believe...
But
sure. They do wear out. I choose to believe that they are that the endless duel representation, again, I say is canon enough for me. Obviously, some problems with it. They have the wrong people piloting, you know, just to add more characters. But I'm going to say it can use them as a sort of electrical melee weapons.
Well, we kinda know that they can though, right? Because we do know that they don't use them as a melee weapon fully, but they do use the electromagnetic barrier in order to, like, basically hold down a mobile suit at one point.
That's true. That's true.
I don't remember if it's the Virgo that does it or the Mercurius, but we do know we can, like, lock down a mobile suit with these.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And the way that these work is really interesting. Having built the model, I actually really like... So, this is not really applicable to the show designs as much. But the way they work on the, like, models is, you see the little parts that are sticking out of them, on the artwork? Like, how they, you know, they have, little bars sticking out? What these do is these can, on the model kit, fit into each other, and they kind of do on the art. It's just a bit more clean looking on the model kits, though. Because I recently built a variant we'll talk about, and, I like the way these go together end on end. You can also, that means you can actually make these go into, like, different shapes, too. Obviously, here, on the original design, is it Raijin that has the drums? I think so. Yeah.
Yes, and then the V8 is doing the beam generator on the backpack, supposed to be, like, Fujin's bag of wind.
Yeah. The thing is, some representations of the Mercurius, though, make it even more apparent to have that, like, you know, like, rounded drum design. Actually, a good example also is, if you look at the box art for the kit, I didn't notice this. So, you've got the original box art from its 1995 release, and these kits actually had a weird thing where they actually got two different box arts, because when they got re-released, they did another box art for some reason. I actually think the re-release box art looks worse. But you can see that, like, sometimes they make them more on the back. Like, it just depends on how the artist wants to draw them, basically.
Well, and that's also on the P-Bandai. It's harder to notice because the P-Bandai is all one color and it's two units, but you can see it's doing the two half circles thing again.
Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, the way that these fit together, though, you can configure these any way you would really want, which is neat. This is a defensive unit that is meant to go alongside the V8. It's why the V8 has, like, doesn't really have, like, the same amount of weapons and whatnot, is because it's meant to have this cool badass that has shields with it. It does have some weapons. It has a really dinky looking beam gun that I don't like very much. I don't like the beam gun because it's just like it just looks dinky is like the best way I could describe it, because it's like this weird little like pistol basically, and it's got like this really big barrel. It looks like a cartoon ray gun almost.
I do like it. We had this conversation. We had a low key fight about it last time.
Yeah.
And I am coming around, as we do this show, I am coming around on the idea of choosing armaments in order to reinforce to the pilot the machine's role.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the reason it has a little beam gun is because they're being like, no, this is a melee unit. If you try and play a ranged game, you will fucking lose.
Yeah, that's fair. But,
I also have an idea this time, which is, I think it should be able to plug the beam gun into the crash shield. and use them as a combined weapon, like magnify the power a little bit.
Okay.
Because the crash shield, we'll talk about in a minute, but it has a big old beam saber emitter, so you could just have the beam gun sort of link up with that and fire a stronger beam.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, and I didn't think about this last time, it reminds me a little bit of the one, like, Soviet, like, attempt at making, like, a weird reloadable laser for use in space. Well, because you don't want to damage, like, a station or something. So this was meant for cosmonauts to use. It just it has that same, like, kind of, like, it's not exact by any means, it's just the vibes are the same to me.
Yeah, I feel you.
But the other weapon is the crash shield, which is a shield that just has a big beam saber at the front of it, like pointing that points outward, which is pretty cool. It seems to be a pretty powerful beam saber, because it, you know, it gets animated in a way that looks good. I like the version on the Kotoki art, because even though it's a stripped down crash shield, I'm wondering if it's meant to have a beam come out of all of the holes, because normally the shield has three, like, outward bumps on the front of it.
Like wave breakers, kind of?
Yeah. On the Kotoki art that I, had linked six, which, six, sorry, you'll have to probably put that in the notes.
Yeah, no, of course.
These also look like they might be emitters on the, Kotoki version here. So it would be dual wielding, like, these crash shields that can emit, like, maybe, like, three smaller beams around and then the big central one.
That seems a little silly to me. I also
think it's silly,
the crash shields in that... The crash shields look too flimsy in that art.
Well, because it's not meant to be a shield at all in that art. It feels like they are just, like, weird melee weapons.
Mm-hmm. And this is primarily a melee weapon, but there is some genuine, like, shielding that is done with it. It looks like very thick, heavy metal.
But here's the thing. It has the planet defensors. It doesn't need the physical shields.
No, it does. When it blocks the Wing Zero's blast, it needs the shield as well. It uses the planet defensors and then the physical shield, and it gets pushed back into the colony. Remember?
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay.
It is the last little bit of extra. Also, perhaps there's some interaction with, like, physical armaments, because the Mercurius doesn't see a ton of combat, and we basically only see it block beam weapons. I don't know how planet defensors are going to interact with physical rounds.
From the Virgos we saw, it makes them invincible still, because I think we get the one battle where it's like the Leos and the Virgos fighting, and the Leos don't do anything.
I mean, on the other hand, though...
The Leos never
do. They're Leos. We don't even know if they're hitting.
I will say, my favorite thing is in G-Generation games, in the older ones specifically, when they decide to make the Virgo and Mercurius the most overpowered units by just saying, its version of a shield for blocking is the planet defensors, and the planet defensors nullify all range damage. It just flatly...
Very good.
In Cross Rays, in G-Gen Cross Rays specifically, this is the game where they finally changed it. They just do a flat damage, a percentage damage reduction, which makes more sense to me, honestly, from a balance perspective, because just being like, these just nullify, does make it like, why wouldn't I just make an army of Virgos and then just, you know, only power level those?
You have discovered the Oz strategy.
Well, that, ironically enough, that is what Oz does, right? Is what if we mass produce this machine that can infinitely block things? Hell, we don't even need a pilot, and we just give it a real big gun. Because, basically the Virgo, which is developed from the Mercurius and V8, is, you know, the elements of the Mercurius and V8 in one suit, though we have talked about that before.
Mm-hmm,
that got its own episode.
Another quick thing about the crash shield is, the, like, production version has basically, like, a pistol grip for the shield, is how it holds it, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
The Kotoki art here just has it wearing it on the fists in a way I don't like as much.
Fair enough. Alright, two variants to talk about. Firstly, let's talk about the Suivants. These are from New Mobile Report Gundam Wing Dual Story G Unit. These are the V8 Suivant and Mercurius Suivant. The V8 Suivant, we'll talk about first. So, design changes going on here. The head is a new head. I quite like the heads on both of these. So what the head is more, it's still doing the same theming. These are more samurai-like, right? Like, just in shape and everything.
It's also kind of more Aries.
Yeah, it kind of does remind me a bit more of the Aries. So what these have is, they still have the TVs underneath, but they also have a forehead camera now. It's basically like they combine like the idea from the prior one, because like the Mercurius and V8, when they have their mask up, they have like, you know, the camera appears to be like a smaller, more focused camera, right? And then, you know, underneath it's got the big square one. What these do is instead they have the square one out and they put a mask in front of it, so it like evokes a more fancy shape, even though it's just the TV underneath. And then it also has a forehead camera that evokes the masked look of the two suits. So yeah, it's
it
got...
also has this big blade antenna, whereas the original Mercurius basically had an ahoge, you know, an idiot hair, if you will.
Or the original V8.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
God damn it. Did I do the thing?
Yeah, you did the thing. You said Mercurius.
Fuck. Well, yeah, the original V8 has the... the original V8 has the ahoge, and I think that's way more cute. This blade antenna isn't bad. Basically, the Suivant, the Suivants, I think, shave off most of the charm points of these designs to me.
Fair enough. I quite like these. I have to actually show you a picture, because I did a thing with mine, but we'll talk about it when we get to the Mercurius, because I gave the V8 to my partner, and the Mercurius Suivant is the one I built. So, alright, so the colors for the V8 Suivant are a dark blue, and it also it still has like light blue on the shoulders and stuff.
Like periwinkle,
that would be a good way of describing that. Then it has like a kind of like eggplant purple for the mask, as well as the cockpit hatch and the thrusters on the shoulders. The design, other than the head changing, the design is mostly the same, other than the colors in the head. The other change, though, is on the hard points, it has two of the external beam cannons. Someone's uploaded a way better rear art than we had last time. Actually, I think last time we didn't have a rear art.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Wow. Okay. That's definitely more modern, by the way. Look at the, like, line weight going on. I think these are, like, maybe from the modern G-Unit stuff. At least this feels like it was a redrawn modern art, because this line weight feels more digital to me, as well as the coloring. So this is actually very helpful, especially for the listeners who don't have a model to look at always. So on the external arms, this has, they're the same kind of beam cannon, but instead of having like a, they just remove the base completely, and instead they have the external generators, like slightly mini versions of them, just as the base of the cannon. And what these do is these fold out to the front. I believe they also can extend a little still, from the base. Let me double check on the model. But I think these can extend. Yes, they can. Here, I'll show you. So they still kind of have that like midsection, like, you know, the thing that plugs. From the original, it's just displayed differently because it pops out.
Okay, that helps a lot.
I like the way it looks. Yeah, no, because these look very simple from the back, but I know that when it's actually firing them, that these pop out more and they look more detailed.
However, it is still like boiling down the, like, the original design has like it still has these little like divots and like the edge on each edge of the four parts of the square barrel. And on the original, they're yellow, and it's got this like dark gray blue. The color of the guns here is not very inspiring.
That's fair. I do think it looks really cool though when it has both of these underslung and it has both the generators open on the back. I do like
that. Does look really good.
I mean, I always like an underslung gun like that, and it has two of them, like the Vespers or something. So of course I like this. It doubles up the guns. That's basically all it does here, right? Is it just, you know, they're pretty strong. I don't know if they're individually as strong as like the V8s, but it has two of them,
Yeah, it talks about them being stronger than the Dober gun, which is not a particularly impressive stat.
Well, it depends, though, because it does say the Tallgeese's Dober gun, and let's not forget, the Tallgeese does at one point fire the Dober gun like it's the Buster rifle for some reason, like with the giant beam cannon. I believe that's when it's true. Fighting the Saint Kingdom defenses or whatever. Or not
that's
the
true.
That's whatever true. That was. The automated defenses that after
they were in the Saint Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah. After Zex has grown a couple layers over his heart, so he no longer has a heart attack when piloting. Or no, that's when he has his initial heart attack, right? Because that's like the first.
Oh yeah, that is. That is.
Yeah, so that's when he has his initial heart attack. After that, he grew a couple layers over his heart, so he never has to worry about it again. Anyway,
always good and healthy.
Anyway, next up then would be the Mercurius Suivant. So same head change. Overall the same head, other than the antenna is different. This one, it still has like the blade middle, which is kind of funny, but it doesn't go out as long, and then it has two little, like, you know, it has horns basically at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That are coming out the side and then pointing up. And these
kind of I'm trying to confirm that I'm right about this before I say it. The design of the V-fin there kind of reminds me of the Barbados Lupus.
Or, like, the Barbatos in general, yeah, it kind of has, like, that thing going on, the swept back thing.
Yeah, and that size, and, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't go quite as far out, but, like, mm-hmm. like width-wise, but, yeah, I see what you mean there. Yeah, and so what this one's colors are like, this slightly off-white, this almost cake-like yellow. It's, like, slightly, like, pale yellow.
It's, yeah, this is a very pastel design,
which
it's
I cream really like. I know
pastel
I know.
Yellow and a soft baby blue. Yeah, I don't like the colors on this at all.
Okay, so what I need to show you, what I did a kind of interesting thing on my model, which you will see. So I didn't bring it up on the V8, but the V8 does have slightly different colors in specifically one of the G-Gen games. It loses, it unfortunately loses, like, the light purple, like, on the mask and the torso, and it's just all dark blue. It is all dark blue, and it does have these, it actually does have the details I think you like, on the guns here, where they have the yellow.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mercurius, likewise, in one of the games, has a different color scheme. It is all white, and then it just has a red, almost, it reminds me of, like, almost like the gun cannon or something, like this red lining around the head. Well, here's the thing. I combined them for mine. Because I got a bright, I got the EX red marker, so I decided while I was building my Mercurius to combine them a little bit. I added that to the head. I actually think it looks quite good, personally.
You just gotta get rid of that yellow. That yellow is so bad.
Oh, I love that. I love the pale yellow, though. I like the weird pastel yellow. I like it. That's just...
I think...
There's no accounting for us.
One of the worst color choices on any mobile suit. I think it looks
really
so bad.
I like it. I think it's a cute color. Again, the Mercurius makes me think of, like, a cake or something, and I think that's a good thing. What?
Nah, it's just a funny thing to say.
Well, especially because, like, the off-white is almost like a cream color too, you know?
Sure.
I like it.
I guess that's, for me, that's the thing, is you can have, like, I think the cream color I could like quite a bit, but I think for my money, I would like you to pair this with some more conventional colors to sort of ground it a little bit, rather than make it look like it tripped and fell into a paint factory.
See, I like it. That's just, this is the unresolvable one. What this does is, much like how you double the weapons of the V8, what the Mercurius Suivant does is you don't double all the weapons, but what you do is you give it double the planet defensors, so it has 20 of them. It still has the same beam gun, if I remember right. I think it's the exact same one. I don't have it displayed on mine because I think it looks bad. And then it actually has a different model of shield. It has the crash shield that is based on the Scorpios, so it's actually a bit bigger. Here's, like, the comparison of the front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is a slightly bigger crash shield, basically, though, that is, it doesn't have the bumps on the outside, but I kind of like the design a bit more, overall.
I think, taken in a vacuum, I like it less. I think it suits the Suivant, though. The Suivant is, like, it is a design that sort of de-emphasizes the role of the shield, even though it's bigger. And I think, given now that it has 20 planet defensors and it's just kind of going to sit back and let them do the work, it makes more sense to me.
Does mention here that apparently it has more defensive abilities than the normal crash shield. The AS in the name stands for area shift. It optimizes the adjustments to the strength and range of the beam shield according to the enemy attacks, apparently.
Okay, whatever you say.
That's fun. Anyway. Yeah, so, these are both the follow-ups, though. They're basically, you know, even more Fusion and Raijin, and then we're gonna double the weapons, and I think that's fun as a concept.
I dislike them less than I did last time. I've softened on them a little bit, but I still...
I love the Mercurius Suivant. That's the one that you dislike the most, and it's my favorite of these. Yeah, no, of all of them.
Can't.
I'm sorry.
If you gave me one where that yellow was gray, maybe. Though even then, the like pastel lavender planet defensors, I don't like that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
To me, that just comes across like one of the possible model grays, because that's a common color.
That's fair, but you're taking it in the context of a design where literally everything else is pastel.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's Clown College.
No, it's cute.
I'm gonna get my degree.
One more pick to share with you from the models, because I went adventurous with the planet defensors. I really like that with the planet defensors, you can do stuff like, the stand has, outward and inward, pegs, so you can have it either out or in. So you can have them, like, either, like, my initial picture, which is just, you know, your common planet defensors in a, you know, circle thing. Or you can have them, like, surrounding like this. I think I like the planet defenses. They're very fun to play with.
The surround is very cool, though, Dylan, I have to point out, this is an unrealistic pose.
Mm-hmm.
The beam saber wouldn't get through those shields.
I guess it wouldn't, no. Well, maybe they're not activated. Maybe it's just swirling. No, I know. They're just swirling around it. That I have it doing a silly, like, the arm is crossed over, like, what would be a dueling pose for a sword, but it doesn't have a sword. It just has a shield, so I did the best I could. Anyway, all right. Now for the we've done almost an hour. Now it's time for the Oh no. Okay. All right. Castor and Pollux time. All right. I guess if we're going off the order we should be talking about, it'll be the Pollux first, cuz that's based on the V8 somehow.
Hey Dylan.
Yeah, how to begin?
You ever heard of Evangelion? Or Gellion, your preference. Is
yes, I've heard of Evangelion.
You know the unit that Asuka pilots?
Yes.
People really liked those colors, that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, well, they were also deployed there better than they are here, anyway. Alright, what we have here is... Okay, this thing... okay, I guess I should. It is used in the G-Unit manga, Operation Galley Arrest, which is the newer one. It is piloted by Gord Crown. That's a hell of a name. This thing is, let's just talk about it. The face is a Gundam face with a red chin. The chin is kind of pointy at the base, of, like, where it connects into the, you know, face. The Gundam face has, like, these, like, slatted, like, vents around the eye, kind of like, rather than having, like, a face vent, it doesn't have any face vents, but it does have, like, a bunch of, like, little, you know, slats going to the eye, so it's, like, a bunch of little, like, you know, line sections right under the eye. Mm-hmm. Two orange eyes. The black around the eyes actually follows all the way to the back of the head there. Like, these would be mono eyes or something that can slide along a long rail. The forehead guard is a large red piece that has some points at the base and two blunted horns on the top. In the middle, we have an almost Zaf-style mobile suit camera, like from Gundam Seed, where it's like that really tall white mobile suit camera This is going to end, though, in a giant ponytail that looks like it's made out of the same blade parts that make up, like, the Epion's whip.
Yeah, it has the look of a long, like, braided ponytail.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at the base of this ponytail, you can see that there's also a V-fin here. Speaking of other things, it has a more conventional Gundam face on the back of its head.
Uh-huh.
It also, I guess the cheek vent, little cheek radomes here could be something derived from the V8 for a single thing derived from the V8. This torso is, instead of being V8, like, very Astray-like in design. You've got a yellow collar.
Yeah,
I
would definitely say this design has gone Astray. You're right.
Yes. Well, it is. The Astray designer is the original designer for G-Unit, so.
I was just using it as an insult, Dylan.
I know you
please
were,
continue.
But I had to add that. Has a yellow, like, front of the collar, like, almost like a, like, appears almost like a necklace or something, because of, like, the way it's around the neck. And then you've got red back of the collar going around the back of the head and such. Not too high, though. You don't want it bumping into the ponytail. Then you've got some interesting slitted vents, like, on the chest, like, on either pectoral area, that are, like, vertical instead of, unlike most Gundam vents, which, you know, tend to be horizontal, these are vertical. They're also pointed at the bottom, and they stick out. And then you've got kind of a very Geminis, style, right? Because I think these just have the torso of the Geminis in some ways, if I remember right. The cockpit hatch is very Geminis styled. You know, white pieces down the middle. You've got the two red torso pieces. It also has, like, these weird bars sticking out of the side of the torso that connect into the back of the, like, backpack area, which is just kind of weird. It's, like, almost like a weird spoiler or something, like, when you're looking at it from the back. The arms, for the shoulders, you've got shoulders that have red armor going around a circular part. It has, like, a green camera at the end of these circles on the shoulders. And then it also has a bit of a point that hangs down over the bicep. The upper bicep is just the Geminis arm, but painted black. The lower arm is also the Geminis arm. It is in white. Has standard hands. For the skirt, we've got a red set of front skirts that have, similarly to the chest vents but painted red, some vents at the base of them, which is a little weird because the skirt is also red. I think they should be yellow. I know that we shouldn't add more color to this already garish design, but I think you should at least have these match. The crotch is like this dark color, but it has like a red cap at the bottom. These side skirts almost appear to be like weird little shields. I think these are also the Geminis side skirts. I'm going to have to pull up a picture of the Geminis for comparison, just because, you know, it would be useful. Yes, these are the Geminis side skirts. Okay. Different crotch in general, just the same side skirts. The thighs are unique. They are this, like, sort of, like, round, this like, rounded armor that, instead of having a knee, these actually have, like, armor that folds down over where a knee would be. That has, like, some white lining on it. It has, like, thruster kind of looking parts at the base of the thigh on either side, like, on the inside and outside. Let me look at the rear and see if there's anything on the back of the thigh. Nope. Very high joints on this boy, though. For the lower leg, you've got, what in a vacuum is, I think, a nicely detailed lower leg. I like, these, like, it has, like, these little, like, vents on the side that are, like, you know, just these little slits with a bunch of panel lining, like, lines in them. I like the way these look. It's also got, like, yellow vents on the front of the leg, as well as, like, some, around, like, the chubbier parts of the calf, on the front. It's also got some more, like, slatted vents. Very thin ones, though. They're not, like, you know, very big, thick, but, then for the ankle armor, it's kind of integrated more into the leg than the foot. The feet do have, so you've got, like, a red foot piece on top, you have the sole on the bottom, you have a separate heel, and you have a midsection of the foot that you can see that's, like, frame. These also have what appear to be weird spikes on the feet. We'll get to why it has these. A lot of the weird hanging shit on this mobile suit, we'll get to why it has that. It'll become obvious very soon.
Because they hate us personally.
Yes. The backpack is less of a backpack and more of... It's almost like the hardpoint system that is on the V8, but it looks like it's connected into, like... You know on a Gunpla, like, when you connect the shoulders sometimes, right? And you have, like, the little gray piece that, like, will be the inner frame of the shoulder that you put the peg through?
Sure, yes.
It's attached like that, but it's coming out of the back, and it's separate from the actual shoulders. It's got these, basically, like, a gray piece that then has a hinge, and then another gray piece that has these, like, white circles on them. And then these end in two binders that are big thrusters. These are kind of reminding me of, Is it the Hydra? Hold on, Hydra Gundam. Because again, these take a lot of elements from existing, like, designs. Oh, no.
Stuff.
The Greep. The Greep does this. Right, it's the Gundam okay. Greep. I remember now. So it's got, like, a big thruster, and the thruster around it has a bunch of armor, like a little wing, and, you know, like this whole housing. The thruster also has a yellow, like, cone in the middle.
Yeah, it's sort of like it splits and sort of redirects the force of the thruster a little bit to make it more efficient, one would assume. Also worth noting, the base of this thruster, the little cap section there, looks a lot like the generators on the V8.
Oh, is that what that... Okay. I didn't think about
that's what
that.
It looks like to me, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I just didn't think about it. All right, moving on. Okay, so that's the Pollux. Now we have to talk about the caster. Unfortunately, unlike the Vae and Mercurius, I can't just say, oh, it's the same design in a different color. No, this is a fucking weirdo.
I also can say we hate the Pollux. The Pollux is going to be the best design of this group of four we're about to talk about.
I don't know. I have to parse it in my head. I don't know if I agree, but I might. Because right now I dread all of these. Okay. The Gundam Caster. And I am sorry that if I am, like, going through the description in a way where you'll need to look it up, but you'll see when you see the design why I am having issues describing these. The Caster's head... Alright, starting with the face. Standard Gundam face, even has the red lining around, like, the bottom of the eyes. Like, it's a very normal Gundam face.
Gundam
then the rest
chin,
of the head
everything.
Happens. What?
Yeah. I said Gundam chin, everything.
Yeah. Then the rest of the head happens. So, the rest of the head, for the top of the head, it's got a... Instead of a mohawk camera, it's got, like, a pompadour, basically. Like, that ends in a point that has a green camera at the base of it. It also has a V-fin that has no forehead jewel, just a singular V-fin. Very, you know, this is supposed to be the Mercurius, so it's, you know, two horns that are, you know, kind of sticking out and going straight up eventually. Or not straight up, but outward up at an angle. The cheek vents, it does have yellow cheek vents. Do we have a rear of this fucking thing? Of course not. Oh, no, we do. Okay, here's the I see it in the... related images, right? I remember now. I remember that the Gundam Wiki has these better quality images, but no one actually separated the art, so we have to look at these pages. All right, mobile suit file. Looking at this, the torso is bizarre. Doesn't have much of a collar area. Almost has like a breastplate. Is what this looks like a armored breastplate. For like the area, like. You know, right below the neck, like in front of the neck and such. The torso is still very Astray style. It's got these inset red bolted vents, kind of. And like, you know, kind of like bony white area lining around it. Oh, I forgot to mention the back of the head. It has two green eyes on the back of the head, along with another weird Gundam face on the back of the head that has, like, you know, the cheeks would be sticking out as a point, and then it's got, like, a chin on the bottom.
What if a face was made of spikes?
Yes. Which I don't inherently object to, actually. I don't object to the face. The problem is when you combine all the ideas that are going on here is where I run into the issue. Because I actually think...
Sometimes a face can just be spikes,
if
but I don't think they pull it off.
If I cover the back of the head with my hand, right? Like, if I cover the front of the head from the back view with my hand, this looks like this could be, like, a cool head. But then I know that there's another Gundam head on the back, and I'm like, why do you have two heads? I hate that. Anyway. It doesn't help that this artist has done this better on, like, a couple of designs, in my opinion. But, anyway.
Also, the chest looks like a little beady-eyed monster with a nose there.
Yeah. Then you've got the bluish cockpit hatch, which again matches, like, sort of the more modern Geminis style chest. I say modern because even though the chest there, it's very funny. They use in the picture there, like for the comparison that, oh, look, it looks kind of like the Geminis, but they use an older picture of the Geminis there, right? Like the original.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we look at the modern Geminis from either the Robot Spirits or the High Grade, which does look great. This artist can do good things, which is why us getting so mad at this design, I think, also happens, is I think he's a good artist, generally. I like a lot of Junichi Ikutsu's work. I just think these two are nightmares. You can see, though, it matches, like, the Geminis chest as it is drawn in the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more.
Yeah, no, you can hear episodes of this show were very positive about this man's work.
Yeah. Just not here. Not today. Well, I'm positive on the Suivants, which are also his, but you're not. Anyway, the sides of the torso still has that weird spoiler thing going on because, you know, those connect into the backpack piece. Anyway, the shoulders has different armor at the base of the shoulders here. You've got, like, these big hanging armor that, like, cover the front of the bicep and a bit of the joint there. They have some, like, vents at the base of this that are yellow.
It's got some dollar store chic vibes, I think.
The outside of the shoulder is actually the same design as the Pollux, where it's like the black with the little green cameras on the outside, or whatever these are. The arm is also the Geminis arm again. It has a white upper arm and it has a fucking, this awful teal. It's also the color of the cockpit hatch. It's like this awful, like, dark teal color that I do not like. I do not like teals generally, and this is like a dark one.
It's kind of, I guess, like a navy teal kind of thing.
I don't like it at all.
It's gross.
Yeah. Side skirts are the same as the Geminis. The front skirts are kind of standard, actually. Very subdued, given the rest of the shit going on with these. You know, it's just not very detailed front skirts. They, like, have a point at the bottom, and they have, like, a little circular detail at the, like, on the outer edge of them. But otherwise, no real details going on. The rear skirt is, oh god, it has, we'll talk about that with the backpack, because it thematically matches, but, so it has, like, that navy teal, like, rear skirt, and then it has, like, the butt piece is sticking out a little because it has wings plugged in here, and we'll talk about those with the backpack. The thighs are the Geminis thighs, which are, like, you have some little, like, outward thrusters on the top outside, front of the thigh. Some nice, like, panel lining and bars. Again, all the best parts of the suit are what I'm saying, oh, it's the Geminis part that I already like. The lower leg is weird. You've got really tall knees that are black. They go all the way down almost to the ankle, basically.
And these look kind of cool.
Yeah, but then you get the outside of the leg here where they're just, like, so I talked earlier about, like, on the Vein of Mercurius, right, how they have, like, the thruster parts that are attached to the upper thigh. These have, like, thrusters that are attached to the lower thigh, like, or the lower calf, like a lot of, mobile suits tend to have. But these are fucking weird looking. They're just, like, these, like, it almost looks like a separate leg, which, you know, considering what it is.
It's a separate leg attached, like, not parallel, perpendicular to the rest of the leg.
Yeah.
Looks like fucking shit.
Yeah, and it's got, like, a big spike at the top. A, like, yellow spike that is sticking out.
And then a camera on the back of it?
And, yes, it has, like, cameras on the back. I guess what these green parts probably are, like, weird combining parts. Maybe it's lasers for, like, lining everything up. Yeah,
probably. Probably. Because the ones on the shoulders, that would make sense.
Oh, I never noticed. This thing has bare pegs on the back of its leg.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Which feels like Junichi Ikutsu, who is also a toy designer, I should note, is, like, planning for these to have a high grade, even though I certainly hope
not. No. Fuck off.
But it does feel like he's planning ahead of time. He even has bare pegs. that would be used with a combination.
If you detached these side things, I think this would be a pretty cool leg.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Then for the feet, it has... So, very pointy ankle guard and stuff. The ankle guard protects the front as well. And then very pointy feet. They kind of almost remind me of, like, the Eclipse Gundam or something. But bigger. But they're very pointy. And they have, like, the teal on the top, and then they're mostly white. They have kind of a high heel.
They're kind of giving me Transient Gundam for a weird pull that I just am making for some reason. If you... listener... That's a build try thing. Probably don't look it up, I guess.
Or look it up. It's pretty cool.
For build try stuff. Yeah, I mean,
don't look at the plot details, but look it up. It's a cool design.
It's a cool design.
All right. Now the backpack. So the right, it's not a backpack. It's attached to the back of the shoulders. Well, whatever. The back shit. The shit on the back of this. So
the trash.
It does have a back plate on the torso that is like a, it has a big slot in the middle, and again, it's connected to the weird, it has like the weird spoiler on the bottom that like,
yeah, this is the same thing the Pollux has on the back. Yeah.
And then so attached to two hinges on the back of the shoulder armor is a set of wings. Again, these are also kind of reminiscent a little of like the Greep or maybe the LO booster actually. Let me see. The shapes here remind me of other G-Unit things, is the thing. Like, which can be said of all these. These feel like kitbashes of G-Unit designs, almost. Like, someone's weird kitbashes. Like, here, I'll show you what I mean. Like, if you look at the old LO booster design here, you see what I mean, right?
Sure,
like, with the,
sure.
The way that the thrusters on the back are. I guess also Geminis O2's like Earth mode also has kind of like these, or not Earth mode, the high mobility one also has thrusters like these. Anyway,
these designs really feel so much to me like when you have a kit. Maybe this is too niche of a thing, too weird of a particular thing, but so like every kid in the world plays. Well, not okay. A whole lot of kids who have this kind of income privilege play with Legos, right?
Yeah.
Very common toy. And sometimes you figure out that a kid is just not creatively minded in the same way, right? They like building, you know, the kits. They are not, don't have a great mind for building their own stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you force them to build something of their own, it fucking looks like this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see what you mean there. Because this looks like a mishmash of a bunch of elements that on their own could be cool on a design. All
but
put
are combined
together,
with no aesthetic sense.
And there's no,
vision.
Yeah, there's no grace to the combination here. So yeah, there's the wings are like three section wings. They have a black base wing that is small, a big white middle wing, and then an outer black wing that matches the base one that is, you know, more out. And then these have planet defensors attached to the insides of them. We can see them very clearly.
Now, why? This is like putting, like, a funnel in a picture frame and then attaching the picture frame to your back.
Admittedly, I don't actually mind, like, the way that these are attached. Personally.
I just don't see what the point is. I don't see why you're doing it.
Well, I guess because they don't want the planet defensors sticking out, like, more. I mean, does this thing really need more things adding to its silhouette?
It has huge wings. What are you talking about? Just have planet defensors instead of these stupid little things.
I think the wings are fine? Question mark?
I just don't... They don't seem to serve any real purpose. They are way too flimsy to have any kind of lift involved. They don't appear to have any verniers or any of their utility functions besides the fact that they are pieces of metal.
And back.
You could do and back with planet defensors just as well.
That's fair. It also has a pair of butt wings, attached into the tail. Almost the same design, but, the base wing is a little more blunt at the end, and the outer wing on the butt wings sticks out a bit more. It's a bit pointier. But otherwise, it's like a parallel design. It's complete with, its own planet defensor. So this has 3, 6, 9. So this has 12 planet defensors, if I'm reading this right. Okay.
I guess that's right.
Easy part out of the way. All right, which one first? Diaz or Scurry?
Diaz first, because I'm just using... I usually write down units covered as we do them. I am just using the list from the last episode, and we did the Diaz first last time.
Okay. Well, the Diaz is also the one that we have the least amount of art for. Because we only have the front, not the back. So, the Gundam Diaz.
Well, no, we have it. Don't you remember? We had to Google this stuff.
I have to look this shit up again. Right. All right. Diaz Gundam. I need to find this. Oh, right, because it was like a Reddit thread or something I found which had it.
That cracked the code for us.
Wait, hold on. The wiki actually has a link on Google of the back of the Diaz that is posted on the wiki. But then when you click the link, it opens the article and there's no back of the Diaz on the article. Hold on. What the fuck? View history. Who removed the back art? Previous page? Because clearly Google is thinking of that. Hold on, I'm comparing the page. No! It's not on here at all, on any of these revisions. Why does Google say... That's really weird. That is really weird. Because here, let me show you what I saw.
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Oh yeah, because you also Googled it, right? You can see that, you can see part of the back of it. And it is linking to the Gundam Wiki from Google Images, but that... According to the history on the Gundam Wiki, that was never linked. Oh, wait, no. Is that the back of the Scurry?
I think that might be the back of the Scurry.
Oh, that's the back of the Scurry. God damn it, never mind. All right, the search continues then. I will find the back of the Diaz.
I'm sure we've seen it.
I think we have, too. I'm just trying to... Oh, hold on. Reddit, Diaz, details. Okay.
No, this one is...
No,
doesn't have
the same
it.
Image.
Yeah.
Huh. What is... Okay. I did think we had it too, but I'm not... Oh, you know what? Duh, that art book I have open. Hold on, I think it appears in this art book I have. Junichi Ikutsu's. Yes, okay, hold on.
Okay.
I forgot, that is my bad. Alright, well, I can post it for everyone to see, I guess. It's funny because actually the art in this book also looks a bit sketchier, so I think this is like before it is out. Sorry, real quick. It's really weird, actually. Let me link you this real quick. Here's the Pollux as drawn by him. It has a weird thing going on in the art where, even though this is line art, it turns out when I'm not seeing all the colors, I think I like the design a bit more. I don't know if I'm...
You gotta get some of this to Chris, because the Diaz has no image on MAHQ.
Yeah. Well, that's the Pollux there, and actually, even the caster, I hate looking at these like this, because I actually think I can see these designs working for me if they had better colors, too.
No. I mean, working better? Sure. Not working.
I don't think they're great, but, like, also, weirdly, check out the original caster colors. That's not the same.
No, it's not.
Okay, these are definitely, like, this is definitely art that was done, like, maybe before it was all finalized. But, anyway, I don't think these are great, but I just am saying. Anyway, that is the, okay, there's the Diaz, okay. So, hold on, okay, I'm just gonna link this to you, and you'll just have to look at this when we have to talk about the back of it. It is unfortunately line art, and it turns out when these are combined, the line art is still...
Oh my god.
A nightmare. Yeah. Here's the back. I did just learn something from this, though. This does have cool planet defensors, because they are combined with crash shields.
Actually think that's a neat
idea.
That's not bad.
Like, the back of them is able to do this stabby. Which I think is
okay.
Neat. All right. Anyway. All right. So, talk about the front of the Diaz. Okay. The head is the back of the head from the Pollux. So, what it does is the ponytail and the V-fin pop up, and so the ponytail shifts which side it's on. And now you have that normal Gundam head on the back of the head as the main head. Then the torso is similar. It is basically the caster's torso. However, if you look at the back of the torso, well, I guess it's kind of a backpack now, but there's also the other torso there. Anyway, as you go out from the arm, you can see the caster's arms, which, are now rotated around in such a way that they are, like, hiding themselves, like they're folded backwards. And so these are just, like, hanging pieces of armor arms? Kind of like Woundworth style with way less elegance, and that's not even my AOZ, like, love speaking, that is just true here.
That's just true.
And then the outer arms are the legs of the, Pollux that have now turned into arms. That's why they had the feet had such a weird design with that spike at the end, because the spike has now become weird elbow slash wrist, like, backwards wrist spikes.
Which also doesn't need to exist, so it's kind of like, oh, that's what that detail became, but it didn't need to happen,
and then
so that doesn't actually explain it.
The arms are attached by a sideways wrist in order to have them in place, by the way. They're not sticking out directly. The waist is the wing units of the caster are wrapped around the waist.
Which, like, actually looks good.
Yeah, so the butt wings have now wrapped around the waist. And then the rest of the leg is mostly all the caster leg. However, the feet have shifted backwards and they are now just sticking out of the back of the leg. And those,
so the feet are shifted backwards, and then, yeah, the second legs have attached to the bottoms of the first legs.
Yes. And they have giant toes. That's what those big yellow parts on those were. And then on the back of it, it is wearing... So it has the wings also on the back of the shoulder, and it is wearing the Pollux's torso. As a backpack.
Yeah, its backpack unit is the torso of a different Gundam. And then also, of course, the Pollux's wings to sort of, like, hold it in place.
Yeah. This actually is more criminal on the other design, I think. On the other one,
yes.
It is even more noticeable. Because at least in this one, it's mostly hidden. Also, neat detail. Also, I hate that I'm saying neat detail. I do like that the back heel, the high heels on the reason the caster has the high heels is you can actually see when they're folded up on the back that there are big thrusters on the bottom of the heel. I actually think that's kind of a cute way of doing that. Okay. Again, elegant, but I like the idea.
I will also say, this is a thing we kind of skated over real quick with the Pollux that I forgot to mention. I think its beam rifle is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, right. The weapons are fine because they're not, you know, combining masses of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we get to the Scurry. I think I like the Scurry more for being a little freak. Even though it does a lot of elements worse, but it's so ugly, it's kind of like wrapped around to. I think it's kind of cute. In a really fucked up sort of way. The face is that back of the head. Which looks like it has devil horns because of the V-fin, which is kind of fun. It is a head made of forward-facing spikes. It has four eyes. It has two green ones on the top and two yellow ones inside. You cannot see the inside face at all, so I'm not even going to attempt to describe it to you. Listener, I'm sorry, but it is just not visible. The torso now is just... It's really interesting that because it uses the back of the head units, that it uses the other one's torsos here when they combine. Because this is using the back of the caster's head, but the Pollux's torso for the torso, right? The shoulders are... Where did these come from? Hold on, I'm lost now. Hold on, where did these come from? Gundam Pollux. These are part of the Pollux. But what part of the Pollux are these? Oh, these are the... Okay, these are the big wing
shoulder binders?
Yes, these are the big shoulder, like, back binders. Yeah. They turn into shoulders when they fold over. Okay. Yeah, because you can see the thruster sticking out the top of them. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So it turns those into shoulders. Those had a detail I did not notice when we were looking at the Pollux. These have cameras. That are looking out. and some vents. Then the, so it also does the thing of having the arms of the Pollux are folded. You can't see them at all almost though, because they're all covered by these giant shoulders, but it does have the folded arms of the Pollux wherein at the end of these arms, the legs of the caster are now here.
And
turn into like weird Hygog like arms or something.
Yeah, with the Diaz, right, it's using the Pollux's legs as its arms. And the Pollux just has legs, and so it looks a little funny, but it's like, okay. The thing is, this is using the caster's legs as arms, and the caster already has two legs. So these arms are, in fact, bigger than the body.
Yeah.
These are gigantic.
I do like how that would explain how why the joint well is so big there at the back of them, actually, for the leg. It's like, oh, huh, I guess they really wanted this to have mobility. No, it's for when it's combined like this so it can actually move the arms. It uses the foot, the pointy foot, as kind of a thumb almost, and then it just has these big blades from the second foot that the caster's legs have. Outward, so it's basically big Zagok arms is how I think of these. And then it still has the wrapped around, it's still using the caster's wings as a wraparound skirt, and then it's for the legs, it's almost just using the direct the Pollux legs, other than it has the toes out, it has the toy toe out and pointed up. The back of this is where things get kind of mad. So the back of this, you can see the legs of the caster. You can actually see the way the joint separates into the backpack, weirdly. At the leg there. Yeah. It's like the leg has the joint pulls out.
That is
out.
The flimsiest hinge. You couldn't build this as Gunpla. It would not hold together.
And then also, so the wings are just kind of... and the wings are on the back, and actually, now that I think about it, it does have the one, I think this is the rifle and the shield are attached to the back, from the weapons from both of them are attached to the back here, which is covering up the fact that if you didn't have those on the back right now, wearing on the back, you would just see the upside down Pollux Gundam.
just staring backwards at the shield in its face, yeah.
Yeah, and its ponytail now resembles a bit of a tail, is the idea, I think. Yeah, no, I guess I got through this much more cleanly than I did last time, because I'm not sitting here trying to figure this out. So
we're not trying
to
solve the mystery this time.
But yeah. Also, actually, okay, now these forms are also where I would complain about the planet defensor placement, because I don't think it looks like it would be easy for these to pop out of the back wings. The waist wings, sure, but the back wings, no. Yeah, no, this one's a nightmare creature. This is like a weird little gremlin, given its proportions. Its arms are longer than its legs, actually, if you want to count the end of the tip of the arms. And the arms are at an angle in this arc, too.
They're much longer. What you're saying is if you count the tip, they go below the legs. But they also start much higher.
Yeah.
The arms are taller than the entire mobile suit.
It's weird and fucked up. Again, I see what this is trying to do, I just realized. It's trying to do the Aesculapius. Even with the way that these arms go over from the shoulder and stuff, it is trying to do this thing is like trying to do the things that all the designs from G-Unit do. Because like I said, you can also see like Hydra and all that, like things going on. But like, the way that these arms are attached does remind me of the way the Aesculapius's close combat mode works, right, where it has these other like arms fitted over the arms. Actually, I think that's how these arms work, right? It looks like they have that really weak hinge if you look at them. I think they attach into both the shoulder and the arm though, because if you look at it from the front, you see the joint there. I think this is doing the Aesculapius thing of, oh, there's two connections.
Okay, sure.
To support it. More proof that a high grade could work for when we inevitably get it, ?
Who would buy this?
People would. Oh, you know it would happen. Come on. People buy worse looking designs than this.
Like what? Name a worse looking design in Gundam that's gotten a model kit. Name a single one.
Okay, well, now that you ask me that, it's a little harder. No, the Dictuses have a charm about them, even though they are goofy hands. But they have a bit more charm than this.
Oh, shit! Okay, I just happened to check P-Bandai, and they've got the Metal Build Astraea, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh, nice.
You know what? The Astraea is our other current lost episode, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Right! I forgot about that, fuck! We had, like, two lost episodes in quick succession, unfortunately.
This thing looks cool.
Oh, yeah, no, I like the Astraea, too. I'm not getting it. I already own one of the metal builds.
Yeah, $230.
I mean, if I knew about it ahead of time, I could save for it. It would be insane, but I could. You know what the problem is to me? It's $230, which makes it more expensive than the Astraea Finsternis, but it doesn't have as much equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you look at its equipment, it's kind of bare bones. It does have, if it came with... I think it should have come with, if you look at the P-Bandai website, sorry, listener, for doing this, there's the Proto XN unit. I think it should have just come with this, and also should have still been $230, because, I don't know. I know that it's probably a price based on, current, production prices and stuff, but, oof. I feel like it needs this to have more of an identity, because these are, big, cool swords that go with it. Anyway, the thing that would actually be dangerous for me, Six, is there's another Astraea also from the manga that has... It's like a red one with four eyes, and I can't remember. It's like another bad guy one.
Did we cover it? We must have.
No, we didn't know about it. It's from It's the same as the Astraea 2 here. It's like it was revealed at a similar time. It's like from the same thing.
I see.
Yeah, I'll have to dig it up for you. Okay, I think that we're done with this episode, I will say. Alright, again, Nightmare Energy, not nearly as shocked as we originally were, but still a nightmare. I hope everyone enjoyed. Six, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. DMs are open there for any questions, comments, listener requests, like we'll be rolling next episode, I'm sure. And you can also find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me at lowpolyrobot on twitter.com as well as on co-host.
Oh, look at that Jinx Gundam.
Yeah, well, this is like the upgraded Finsternis, I think, in the story, because it's part of that same thing. Technically, this was revealed in January, but it hasn't been or December, but it hasn't been posted like anywhere. And I saw another bit of it. I love this thing. Do you like how it also has an upside down celestial being emblem?
It's good.
If they did a metal build, now if they do a metal build of this, unfortunately, I will save up and buy it.
I mean, listen, if I made more money, I would get all of them. I love the Astraea. I'm sad we lost that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, what was our closing last time? Do you even remember?
I don't know. I don't care. His name is Gord Crown.
Peace.
War.